Information, commentary, and podcast are always online at godandculture.com. Here again is Paul Edwards on Faith Talk 1500.
Without question, the Chrysler 200 Super Bowl ad is, I say without question, arguably the most talked about ad in the Super Bowl today. But coming close is Mark Stein's comments yesterday as he guest hosted for Rush Limbaugh on the Rush Limbaugh program. He came out pretty tough on the city of Detroit yesterday, and on the other end of my phone line is the columnist of the world, Mark Stein, where you can visit him at steinonline.com. And Mark, it's great to welcome you back here to Detroit and the Paul Edwards program.
Great to be back with you, Paul.
Are you nervous to be in Detroit right now?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm slightly mystified at the fuss my remarks caused yesterday, because I don't think what I had to say is factually in dispute. And while I understand that that might be hurtful for people who happen to have been born and bred in Detroit, I assume that they understand the reality of their city. For a start, the population, as you well know, the population of Detroit has fallen by 50% in the last 60 years. So when I get a zillion emails saying, oh, you're totally ignorant, you can't know how great this city is until you live here, 50% of the people who used to live there don't live there anymore. They gave up on the place. And maybe in another 50 years' time, it'll have 10% of the population it had in 1950, and the last seven guys living in downtown Detroit will think it's the greatest place on earth.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you have to confront the reality of what's happened to Detroit. And not get offended just because some, you know, sinister foreign ninny like me decides to point it out.
How many invitations, Mark, have you gotten to dinner in Detroit since yesterday?
Well, I've had a surprising number, and you know, I've had all those kind of things that where people say, oh, if you come to Detroit, I will show you the new Detroit, the River Walk. And yeah. God bless them. I love River Walks, but you can't rebuild the industrial powerhouse of the world on a re-landscaped river walk. The river walk is not the beginning and the end of Detroit's troubles, and it's actually not even anywhere near connected what Detroit's real troubles are.
One of the criticisms that you leveled yesterday, Mark, on Limbaugh was the $9 million it cost for this ad, given the fact that Chrysler basically has been loaned the money for their existence, for their ability to even exist, by the American taxpayer. You really view this as maybe a misuse of funds.
Well, I don't know whether I view the whole bailout as a misuse of funds, because it didn't address the reality of the situation with the with the Detroit automobile workers, which is that management signed deals with the unions, lavishing so much on union employees, past and present, retirees and widows, that it is impossible for General Motors and Chrysler to make a car at a price anybody's prepared to pay for it. GM and Chrysler were losing between $500 and $1,500 on every vehicle they sold at the time the government intervened. So unless you, as opposed to, say, Honda and Nissan, whose profit on each vehicle is around $1,600. So in other words, Honda and Nissan, when they build a car in the United States and sell a car in the United States, they make money. When Chrysler and GM build a car in the United States, they lose money. That's the issue. That's the issue here. And a feel-good ad doesn't really change those underlying conditions.
You made the comment that at the end of your monologue on the ad yesterday that if Detroit is the future of America, we're all doomed. The pundits I'm hearing are saying, look, the ad was not meant to be indicative of the future of America, or really even the future of Detroit, as much as it was to kind of I look at it as kind of a Coen Brothers kind of adaptation of the angst and the psychological turmoil of the city, and certainly not as a metaphor for revival in any sense.
Well, I think I'd make two responses to that. First off, I think one of the worrying developments of the last 2 years is that at the national level, the Obama administration has, in a sense, embarked on the Detroitification of America. That's to say, it's rewarding failure. And secondly, I think there's a psychological fraud at the heart of the M&M ad in its attempt to show the sort of toughness and grittiness and resilience of Detroit. Because I think that is one of the saddest things of what's happened to the city. I mean, I think, for example, Detroit is institutionally corrupt and its school system operates a form of institutional child abuse. When you have a city where 47% of the inhabitants have the functional literacy of sixth graders, then I think you have debauched your human capital, which I think is the worst thing. I mean, that's worse than any collapsed building. That's worse than any closed factory. What is horrible about the last half century in Detroit is what the people entrusted with running the city, which is mainly the Democratic Party and its union allies, what they've done to the human capital in Detroit. It's one of the great tragedies of contemporary life. There are no precedents for this. If you look at the decline of first world cities across the developed world, yes, shipbuilding collapsed in Belfast and Glasgow, but Belfast and Glasgow, in all their grim, disgusting misery, the seal cull is over in Newfoundland, so Newfoundland's economy is in the tank. But you cannot find any precedent for what a first world city has done to itself anywhere in Europe or the rest of the Western world compared to what Detroit's done to itself.
Mark Stein, my guest, steinonline.com is his website. He filled in, and as he frequently does, for Rush Limbaugh. And, you know, it's not as if the Limbaugh audience would have been shocked by anything you said. I mean, for goodness sake, a few years ago, Rush Limbaugh said that we needed to change the name of the city of Detroit to New Fallujah.
That's right.
So, you know, it's not as if this is foreign territory for the Limbaugh audience. But Mark, you seem to be so well versed and you have such an understanding of what's going on here. What informs you about the city of Detroit? I mean, do you know people here? Do you come here often? Where do you get your information?
Well, I usually spend a couple of days a year in Detroit. I wouldn't put it any higher than that. I spend a couple of weeks a year at Hillsdale College, which, as you know, is just a couple of hours south of Detroit.
Right.
And so certainly I know that section of southern Michigan much better than I know Detroit. But I spend a couple of days in Detroit each year, which is more than most Americans do, and I see the reality, and I understand the statistics, and I look at the per pupil cost, the per student cost of spending in the school system, and what you have to show for it. And I look at the murder rate, and I look at the 70% of murders in the city that go unsolved, and I understand that this is a city where government has expanded, and there is not enough left of the productive sector to support the government and the dependent class. And I think if you're serious about restoring and recovering Detroit, then you don't get excited about some commercial with some third-rate pop star. What you would be doing is you would be privatizing the big bloated government agencies and restoring human dignity to much of the population of Detroit. As you well know, Paul, one of the problems when you have government functioning as a kind of municipal church with a dependent class as its worshippers is that real institutions in society, such as real churches and other civic institutions, decay, and government metastasizes until it becomes all that's left. And that comes at a very steep price, and you can see that in Detroit any day of the week.
Would you lay the blame at this strictly at the feet of liberal policy, or is there something more sinister than even liberal policy that is responsible for where we are here in this city, and Are you aware of any other city in the world that has taken the dive that that you suggest the city of Detroit has taken?
Well, no, and I made that point on the air when I said that actually its literacy rate in Detroit is now about the same as the Central African Republic or Sierra Leone and other countries in West Africa. Now, when you've got a first world city that has done that to itself over 60 years, you've got to ask how did that happen? Who did that? Why was that allowed to happen? Lyndon B. Johnson held up the example of Detroit as a shining example of the Great Society, and he's right. It is an example of the Great Society. You now have transgenerational poverty and dependency, and you have a lack, I would say, of simple human dignity, because human dignity requires self-reliant families who can provide for themselves and a government that doesn't crush their spirit and swallow and demolish every other institution in society. And so I think I would lay the blame at big government, because big government creates small citizens. And that's why 50% of the population have fled Detroit, and why even many of the people who have written to me and claiming to be outraged by what I've said about Detroit are people who have nevertheless chosen to live outside the municipal boundaries of the city proper.
What would you say, Mark, to those people who say, wow, man, he spoiled a wonderful sentimental moment for those of us in Detroit? Why not just let us have that moment and say, boy, this was just a shining moment for the city of Detroit? I mean, hundreds of millions of people got to see us in a positive light on a television commercial, truth or not. Can't we just have this moment?
No, I would say no, because I hate to be gloomy, but I think there is a real... I have never seen, just to take it away from Detroit for the moment, I've never seen an equivalent situation to what we're seeing in the United States at the moment, where people are deluding themselves about the nature of an existential crisis by which every day more and more money and with it more and more real power are transferred to a successor superpower in Beijing. And these are serious issues, and Americans are largely complacent about it. I was born in Toronto, a subject of Her Britannic Majesty. I was born in Toronto, a subject of the Queen of Canada. And Cecil Rhodes said a century ago that to be born a British subject was to win first prize in the lottery of life. And because that was true in the 1890s, men like Cecil Rhodes thought it would always be true forever and ever. And today, many Americans think that to be born a U.S. citizen is to win first prize in the lottery of life, and that because it's true today, it will always be so. But you are squandering a great inheritance if you allow what's happening in Washington to continue to drive American prosperity and America's future off a fiscal and moral cliff. Because in the end, what the gross abuse of spending and fiscal responsibility is a moral question. And it's a moral question in Detroit. And if you can't acknowledge the truth of what's happened in Detroit, it's less and less likely you'll be able to acknowledge the truth about what's now underway in the rest of America.
Yeah, but you need to know, Mark, please know my tongue is firmly planted in my cheek. The city of Detroit just received a grant of something like, I don't know, I think it was $6 or $7 million, and they're able to provide a laptop for every student in the Detroit public schools. Now, mind you, that this September class size will be an average of 62 students, but every one of them will have a laptop thanks to Obama money.
Right.
And shouldn't we say, look, the federal government has given us money. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, now I'm interested to know where that grant came from. Was it found, in a treasure chest off the Horn of Africa by Somali pirates in a big trunk full of Zanzibari doubloons sitting at the bottom of the seabed? Or is it perhaps the case that grant money comes from the shrinking pool of net contributors to this society who pay money into the federal treasury for the federal treasury to recycle back back to Detroit on boondoggle programs that do nothing to address the real issues.
Yes.
And the reality of this is we know the problem with the Detroit school system isn't money. The last thing the U.S. public school system needs is more money. It's had more money thrown at it than any other system in the world except Luxembourg's. And Luxembourg, which is a country that could fit in your rec room, has at least got something to show for it.
Mark Stein, I want to make an offer to you, and I'm serious when I say this. You're very familiar with Salem Communications, aren't you?
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here on a Salem, one of their religious teach talk stations, as they call them. But we have another affiliate in our market that would really benefit from an intellectual host like yourself. And I'm wondering why Mark Stein would not take an hour or two every day and launch the Mark Stein program in the city of Detroit and help us here, rather than curse the darkness, really help us remedy the problem by having your voice on Detroit airwaves as a start for the Mark Stein show.
Well, that's, yeah. I think you probably ought to run that by corporate HQ before you make me the offer. But that's a very nice offer, and I don't get as many as I'd like. But the reality, you know, I take your words kindly, but I've come to the conclusion that we don't need a great knight riding in on a beautiful charger, whether it's me or Obama or anybody else. I think what we need actually is just a lot of ordinary people that nobody's ever heard of living at 27B Elm Street to understand that there is no knight on a white charger, and that the point of human life is to be able to stand on your own two feet and take responsibility. We are charged with free will. We have a different view of human existence than Muslims do, who believe it's all fate and it's all preordained by Allah, and that human existence is just a kind of waiting room until you get to paradise. That is not the Christian understanding of human existence.
Right.
And we need to get more and more, as I said, just Joe Schmo at 27B Elm Street and the nice young lady who lives across the road from him, and the retired couple down the road. All these people, just ordinary, you and your neighbors and your neighbors' neighbors, and just all your listeners, just need to understand that actually that's how they think about Detroit is much more important than getting the latest boondoggle grant from some guy in Washington.
Well, when you're at Hillsdale in March, and I know you're coming in March, and I know you're getting a ton of invitations, Mark, but I'm serious. I would drive my own beat up Ford vehicle to Hillsdale, and I'd actually get the nice Chevy Malibu and pick you up and bring you back to my favorite cigar bar here, and show you the city.
Right.
I would love to have the opportunity to show you the city, and then get the corporate heads to convince you to take that daily 2-hour talk show on our affiliate.
Well, I'm getting lots of invitations to be shown the city, Paul, and I'm trying very carefully to distinguish between people like you who want to show me the sights of the city and the new Detroit, and then others who want to show me to some rusting dumpster down the end of a dark alley. And as long as I could manage to sort separate the invitations into separate piles, I should be able to avail myself of some of them, I think.
Mark Stein, columnist to the world. Visit him online at steinonline.com. Mark, I always appreciate your candor, and it's just been a joy chatting.
Always a pleasure, Paul.